the longest running radio talk show in Canada. Live from Studio 800, it's the Lorne Brooker Show.
Good morning. It's coming up to 8 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Friday.
It's Friday.
Today is the 30th of May, 2025, and welcome to Talk Radio for the Quinte Region. My name is Lorne. I am your insufferable tool. Behind the glass today is the Iron Man of broadcasting, our Friday producer, none other than Brian DeCare.
Good morning, Lorne and guys.
Good morning, Lorne and guys. Oh, boy, do we have a show for you today. After 10 o'clock, we will get a little serious on this Feel Good Friday. It's Joe Reed from the Director of Transport. He's the Director of Transportation and Operations for the City of Belleville. We'll talk about the moving of the cameras, the speed cameras, the traffic enforcement cameras. As you know, the city has decided to become partners in the traffic ticket business. That's what we're in. So they're moving next month, which is on Sunday. So we'll talk to Joe about that. Plus, we'll have the Lorne Brooker Show Friday Freeform, where we ask a listener to call in and give us any topic. It could be anything. It could be stinky rock stars or rock star buses. It could be guitars. It could be anything. And then we'll have AI write a short poem about that topic, and then we'll read it on the air. We'll have our voice guy read it on the air. It's always a disaster. But first, today, how cool is this? Very, very cool. I hear this song all the time, as you do. Of course, I'm talking Gloria Sons. They're out of Kingston, and I guess maybe the second most famous band to ever come out of Kingston. I guess it's safe to say. Maybe third if you include Bryan Adams. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But Kingston is certainly a prolific and wonderful place to produce music. And the Gloria Sons have got together with Mike Wild Montgomery, who is with the band Boston Levi, which is also an amazing band, to come together for a group that is called Eddie and the Dirty Boys, which incidentally is what people call my bathroom, the lower in the lower level of the house. Toilet Eddie, I'm just kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, in studio today from the Gloria Sons, we have Jay Emmons. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. And from the Gloria Sons, we have Steve Kirsten. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. And Steve does look like a rock star. He's like, it's in there, and he's like, I should be sleeping. And from Boston Levi, as I said, Mike Wild Montgomery, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, I got to say that we've been talking for about 10 minutes or so, and these guys, you think, you know, if you remember WKRP and the rock stars coming in and being dinks, these guys are so nice. It's so Canadian. It's wonderful. And welcome to the studio. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And there's a special guest in studio today walking around, and it is, I think, Steve, it's your dog, right?
That is correct, yeah.
It is Millie, which is great. Okay. And Millie is he's a bulldog.
Yes, bulldog. Frenchie mixed with Boston Terrier.
Yeah, and she's very friendly.
He's quite friendly, very social, yeah.
Very social, very social. Okay, and we should point out that Eddie and the Dirty Boys are in studio today because Quinte Broadcasting, so Mix 97, Rock 107, and CJBQ are sponsors of the music stage at Canada Day this year, and I believe that's on July 1st. I'll have to check my calendar. And they are the headliners. So how cool is that?
It's going to be fun.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay. Well, listen, let's talk, Jay, about how this all came together. Because the Gloria Sons is not broken up. You're on tour this summer. You're a big, huge band. And we'll talk about some of those main, fun, incredible experiences that you've had. But what I think is cool is when musicians can get together with other musicians who are friends and colleagues and come up with something new. And I think that keeps the creative juices going.
Yeah, definitely. We kind of just told the story over there, but
yeah, well, this is a different radio station.
I'll tell a different version over here. So Wild and I have known each other probably for about, I guess, since grade 10.
Yeah, something like that, yep.
I think we were both in some of our first bands together. In my parents' basement, I think, was when we first started hanging out. And then through college and all that, we had a band that was actually kind of quite popular in Prince Edward County. One of the larger bands called The Sauce.
The Sauce.
Yeah. And then The Sauce broke up, I don't know, like probably 15 years ago
now, probably. And, so it's going back a ways.
And then I kind of went off and started The Sons, and we stayed in touch, but we always kind of played music together.
Really?
So during COVID, he came over and we got a couple cases of Heineken, and we just sat at my kitchen island because we had nothing better to do. And we started working on the song called Two Case of Heineken, which will be our lead single. We didn't finish it in those 2 days. It was, it was kind of, I don't know. And then we just left it for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then we finished it at your kitchen island.
Yeah, probably just over a year ago, I guess. Yeah. We got back to it. And we kind of remembered that song from like 4 years ago, and we finished it up. And then, yeah, a few more started coming together. So.
Yeah. And Stevie is always in the fold with kind of everything that I've done for the past 6 or 7 years. We've recorded a ton of bands together. He's an excellent audio engineer, guitar player, singer, whatever you need him to do. He is the man for the job.
In my extremely quick research for this interview, which I found out about at 8:45 this morning, I did some research. And Steve, you guys did some recording at Metalworks in Toronto, right?
Is this true?
And that's Gil Moore from Triumph's studio, isn't it?
Yes.
And so if you think about the history of that studio alone, when you walk into those buildings, the studios that have some sort of provenance behind them and things that the entire world knows, songs the entire world knows have been made in that studio, which I believe is like an industrial strip mall in North Toronto,
right?
It is,
right? Yeah.
What goes through your mind? Does that get your producing juices going, your engineering juices going? Because you realize, man, this building can produce some excellence.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, anytime you go into any kind of a space where, you know, great things have happened.
Right. That's why when you walked into this studio,
of course,
you went blank. Nothing. Your brains went empty. Nothing good happens in here. But what's that like? Like, do you like have, and this goes for all of you, do you have like pads of paper? Because being in rooms like that make you think, wow, no, this is coming to my mind and this is coming to my mind.
I don't know. I feel like you just kind of get a bit of a, it sort of amps you up a little bit sometimes, you know, just knowing what's happened here and that you get to be in that same space. And
they all have like gold records on the wall and things like that, right?
Yeah,
and you see what they've done.
Yeah. It's super neat. I mean, you can draw inspiration from it. Sometimes you're overwhelmed by the pressure of the situation, depending on what, you know, what you're going into a space like that to do.
Right.
But I think eventually you always kind of end up drawing inspiration from it. Sometimes it takes a while for you to kind of realize like, oh, I was just, you know, we were in BBC Studios in London once and you're like,
hello,
you know,
like what, like, everything has been produced in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's fucking cool.
But there's a reason. I didn't hear that. There's a reason that you guys are in those studios.
Yeah.
Right? So you also have to know that you're good enough to be in those studios.
Yeah.
Hope so, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is technology has made it so you can do so much in your home, right?
Yeah.
You have, and, you know, with all the computer software, you can record a million tracks to make it sound good. Sometimes you might just need to finish it off somewhere.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more accessible to musicians these days to be able to, you know, create albums and stuff on their own, as opposed to always needing to go to like a big, large format studio kind of thing.
Still, it would have been cool in the day to go and have like a 24 track rolling and 40 people trying to work it and like a generator in the back to power it and all that kind of stuff. That would be cool back in the day too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are sitting around drinking Heineken, which is, you know, kind of fancy rock star beer, and you come up with this song, and it's not Glorious Sons, because Glorious Sons is, what's the best way to say it? It's Canadian, slightly progressive, tiny bit alternative, but really straightforward, cool, classic. Like, yeah. It's rock and roll.
I mean, the Glorious Sons kind of do a little bit of everything. There's, you know, there's definitely some more alternative, like, leaning stuff. There's some definitely throwbacky classic stuff, and there's, you know, some poppy stuff. So, I mean, right, we're just a rock band. We're
right.
Just, you know, when you see us live, we're a straight rock and roll band, and there's no one denying that.
And that's one of the reasons that you are successful is your live shows.
Yeah.
I think it's possible to compare, in a way, you guys with bands like Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, all these acts who have the talent behind it really got their fame through playing and playing and playing and then having these live shows. And when you go to a Glorious Sons show, you go, oh my God, look at, there's 7,000 people here. They know every song and they are connected.
Yeah.
And that's what has brought you, I think, your notoriety.
Yeah, agreed. I think it all came from the live show and the energy from some of those early club shows kind of just was kinetic and just became this kind of like, I don't know, like this huge kind of movement.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough that people still love our music and, you know, that people caught on and kind of bought in, you know, when it was kind of around SOS and Young Beauties and Fools that people really just like, you know, jumped on board. But
and Glorious Sons is not an overnight success either, because like those other bands, you've been around for, it seems like it's 10, 15 years at least now, or more.
15 years, yeah.
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 So that's not yesterday, right?
No.
I mean, you were working and playing and practicing and like all other bands, playing crap holes.
Yeah.
And then you're also playing SoFi Stadium, home of the LA Rams and the Super Bowl, and that juxtaposition is got to be mind-blowing for you guys.
Sometimes it is, honestly. You're like, what the hell am I doing here?
You right.
Know? Yeah, that SoFi moment was one of those moments where you're just like, all right. I don't even know what to make of it. It's just, this place is so big, you know. You're just a little speck on the stage
because
we're not on the big screen like the Stones. And
you're opening for the Rolling Stones.
And yeah. But that was probably one of our best performances that we did with the Stones.
And did the crowd get involved? Because it's a L.A. crowd, you know, like, I don't know, Brad Pitt is in the audience, yeah. Like, you know, and it's just so different.
It's tough to say. We definitely got a reaction, but to get a reaction from a Stones crowd it's not like the whole stadium's like responding to
you. People are getting their margaritas and their $27 little sushi boxes.
Exactly.
Waiting for the Stones. Did you meet any of the guys?
We did the previous two times, yeah.
Yeah. And were they friendly?
Well, it's actually before my time, so I can't speak to that, but
they were. They were exactly kind of what their stereotypes are. You know what I mean? Like, I think Keith had a cigarette in one of them, Ronnie had a Ryan Coke in one of them. It was
really?
Just kind of a little bit more outgoing and personable, and Charlie was just kind of silent and the you know, the kind of most gentle handshake you could ever imagine.
Right. Is that oh my goodness. Like, it is it's a life-changing moment, right? It's a it's a life-changing moment.
Yeah, it's once again, you're just like, how did this even happen, you know?
Well, because you guys work hard.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Yeah. And that you have natural talent and you're creative. Mike Wild Montgomery, Wild. I mean, you're not looking that wild right now. And maybe because it's too early in the morning.
Pretty early, but I don't know. I was never particularly wild. We were talking about this just last night, actually, because Jay was kind enough to put Wild in all the promo stuff for the Dirty Boys, so everybody calls me that now, but he's one of the few that actually do. But I basically stole the name from my our buddy's grandfather. So he was
and he was Wild.
He was Bill, so he was Wild Bill. So it made a bit more sense for him. And then when he passed away, I awkwardly didn't really know what to say to his family, and so I just kind of said, like, hey man, I would Wild's a great name. I wish my name was Wild, like, you know, Wild Mike or whatever. And then so they started calling me that. So it's kind of somehow stuck for many years now.
And obviously Boston Levi doesn't have the notoriety that the Glorious Sons has. You guys are awesome. I mean, you have such a cool sound and a great band too. Tell us a little bit about the band for people who don't know.
So Boston, I met, so Mike is the singer of Boston Levi, and I met him through Jay, actually. Jay was producing and helping manage his career when it was just starting out, and I basically started, I guess, about 4 years ago. Jay asked me to be in Boston Levi's first music video, and so I played, and I guess basically soon after that, we kind of formed a real band, whereas before it was just kind of a solo act, so...
Right.
But we've had a pretty good run the last 4 years. We've opened for the Glorious Sons many times, and
incidentally, tomorrow you'll be opening for the Glorious Sons. However, two of you are in the Glorious Sons, so you'll go. Will there be a costume change?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna shave my mustache and everything. I don't know about that.
In Fergus, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The difference, though, between getting together with friends or colleagues or high school people or other local musicians and forming a band and playing bars to where you are now, it's a different thing. You're a business.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Glorious
there's,
Sons is
there's Glorious Sons, Inc., right?
Full-scale operation. You know, we've got crew guys and, you know, we're told what to do on show day. We can fight it as much as we want. I skirt the lines as much as I possibly can, but it's like
you're doing an interview at whatever.
Yeah, you know,
and
your day's plotted out for you, and we have a guy who Serge, who does a great job, and he keeps us in line, makes sure the ship's rolling the way it should and nothing goes wrong,
right?
Where, you know, Eddie and the Dirty Boys, we can just
do whatever the hell you
roll
want.
In. And it's like, you know, no one's telling us what to do. So
right.
I always like that side of the rock and roll where, you know, it's not just so cold and calculated and you can just, you know. You
but
just
how cool is it
freedom.
To have a bus provided and then you get off the bus and you're not staying, I assume, at crappy hotels anymore. And then...
Depends.
Yeah, well, and somebody hands you a key to your room and...
Yeah, that's
right?
Nice.
Like, that's nice.
Not complaining about
right.
that.
Right, no. And then you're able to focus on performing.
Yeah.
And you've been around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable experience for sure.
What's the coolest... You know, people... I when I get musicians here, I was asked... Two of these questions. Coolest city you've played in and the coolest venue?
I think Marseille.
In France, southern France, yeah.
Yeah, was my favorite city that we were in. And probably SoFi is the coolest venue.
It would be hard not to do that. Now, you didn't have the Rolling Stones locker room, but did you have like the visitors locker room or?
Yeah, it was... Everyone was so stressed out on our team that day that it was like we were locked in a room with like two bottles of wine and like 12 beer. And we were told like, okay, you can't really move until you're done with the Stones. So it was just like 4 hours of sitting in this basement soccer locker room. And I forget what the venue was called. But so it was probably the most stressful 4 hours of my life because there's nothing, you know, there's nothing to do. There's no
people
vibe.
Think backstages are crazy like in movies, but that's not the truth, right? I mean,
well, sometimes they
are they?
Oh yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that after the break. But before we take a break, you guys want to play something?
Sure.
Are you guys in a rush?
Well,
do you
do
have
it.
To go somewhere?
No.
You musicians
do
don't do anything till at least 2:30 in the afternoon, so you're fine. Why don't we play a little tune taking
let's
us into the break? Here are Eddie and the Dirty Boys. What are we going to hear?
This one's called "God Ain't Ready." It's written about a night in Boston after a Glorious Sun show, actually. Mont and I were down there with our partners on vacation after the show, and we sat in a cigar bar for about 6 hours.
Maybe eight, yeah.
Maybe
that's
eight
good
hours.
For the voice.
Yeah, really good for the voice. Good for morale, though.
Yeah.
And our wives thought that it was time to leave, and I did not. So, my partner, Martine, is also a singer, songwriter, and her and Monty do some writing together. So they wrote this song about that night,
All right.
They're like, this is a good Dirty Boy song.
So. Good Dirty Boy song. This, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie and the Dirty Boys, we'll talk to them about writers and craziness backstage and performing and writing and being a Canadian musician, as it's Eddie and the Dirty Boys here on 800 CJBQ.
All right. One, two, three, four.
Got it ready! I ain't gonna leave. Too loud in here to hear them calling. No, I ain't gonna laugh near. Cigar smoking, anger awoke. The old boy got the dog. Go on and get it. Don't you forget you ain't welcome here no more. God ain't ready. He's about to see the devil.
Job. That is Eddie and the Dirty Boys, Jay, Steve, and Mike, and we'll have some more conversation with them. And listen, I never have like seven people filming my show. So something unique is going on here. When the Minister of Education comes in, nobody films this thing. All right, we'll take a break. It's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
Refresh your kitchen and your savings with Frigidaire and Artie's Appliances. Buy two Frigidaire Gallery or Professional Kitchen Appliances, save $200. Buy three or more, save $300. Offer ends June 25th. Artie's Appliances, Tiananega. Everything but the taxes.
All roofs are not created equal. Hi, I'm Terry from Advanced Roofing. We build your roof to last for decades, not 10 to 12 years. That's why Advanced Roofing strives to provide our clients with the newest and most innovative products, along with superior installation practices currently available in today's market. Whether it's steel or shingle, call us for a free quote at 243-1083. Advanced Roofing, Quinte's most trusted name in roofing. That's 243-1083.
What's happening, Quinte, on CJBQ?
Rev your engine for the Quinte Ride for Paws Poker Run. All bikes are welcome. Register for $20 per bike. Proceeds support Fixed for Life, Sandy Pines Wildlife Center, and Hastings and Prince Edward Humane Society. Registration starts at 10 a.m. Sunday, June 22nd at What's Your Scoop, Frankfurt.
And that's what's happening, Quinte. Brought to you by Hear Right Canada.
Hear spring to its fullest. Book a complimentary hearing test with Hear Right Canada in Trenton, Campbellford, Madoc, and Stirling. Call 705-653-EARS. Hear Right Canada. Quality hearing care for less.
The music of an era.
Stop the sleep you can for a poet and a one-man band.
This is Simon and Garfunkel, a musical celebration. It all happens Friday, July 11th at the Empire Theatre in Belleville, Ontario.
For tickets, call 969-0099 or visit theempiretheatre.com.
Lorne Brooker.
You've tuned into Talk, the stories that matter to you. The Lorne Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
You're pretty.
9:34 is the time. We are rocking and or rolling today as the Lorne Brooker Show is talking about Eddie and the Dirty Boys. They're performing live at the stage in Zwick. It is going to be a Canada Day celebration, and Eddie and the Dirty Boys are made up of members from Boston Levi and the world-famous Glorious Sons. And in studio we have Jay, Steve, and Mike. And Mike's a bit wild, so we've calmed him down a little bit today. And, of course, there's lots to talk about. I will play some more music, too, before you guys go. Sweet. I want to talk about your guitars. Gibson Fender. Is it a thing? You know, drummers like their own specific brands, sticks, picks, pedals, everything. You know, there is... So I noticed, you know... one Fender, two Gibsons, obviously all excellent. Does that take it? So when you're on stage playing your electrics too, do you play only Gibsons or do you mix it? Tell me about your instrument preferences.
Well, I have two Gibsons, ES335s. One's red, one's black, and the red one is just like home for me. If I'm playing anything else with pretty much anyone, it doesn't feel as comfy. It's just such a comfortable guitar. So a
guitar can be like your favorite pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Like it's just part
of
you.
Like your favorite dog. You know, it's like it's that important. You know,
where is that dog? Oh, there she is. Yeah. Your favorite dog.
Yeah.
Or your favorite kid.
Yeah, favorite kid. I only got one, so right. I got one favorite.
Well, right now that will be your favorite. Yeah. What about you, Mike? Because you are the Fender guy. Are you specifically a Fender guy, or just love that acoustic?
Not necessarily. No, actually, an old neighbor of mine happened to be selling this guitar for pretty cheap, and I played it, and it sounded great. And I've acoustically really stuck with this one, but electric, I've got a Gretsch that I play with. The Dirty Boys. So. I normally play a Les Paul, I guess, is kind of my standard guitar, but the Gretsch seemed to work nicer for this one.
For this one, and for people who don't know, when we see you, will it be a combination of acoustic and electric or a full electric show? What are we going to see?
It's going to be pretty full electric. I mean, maybe Jay will play one acoustic or something, but it's going to be pretty full electric, I think.
And, of course, I assume a few people, Steve, are going to want to hear a Glorious Sun song or two, right? Or else somebody might storm the stage?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to wait for the Suns to do it.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening.
I mean, it would be... I actually thought about that. It's like, I wonder what happens if Dirty Boys cover a Glorious Sun song, and it just feels like it's...
Feels wrong?
You're moving into sacred territory that you should not do, you know?
So this is a separate entity, and you want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
I'm the one not in the Glorious Sons, and I would be very uncomfortable with that.
Would you?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we should be going down that road.
Right.
It's low hanging fruit too, right?
Yeah, I guess it is easy to do. Which makes me also think that this band doesn't exactly sound like the Glorious Sons, right? I mean, purposely, there's the song we just heard. There's a country vibe to it. There's a rock vibe to it. It's just like a nice mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is kind of what we're striving to do, maybe, is we listen to a lot of the Faces, the Rolling Stones, that kind of stuff, where both those bands are rock bands, but they also can have a country kind of feel to them. So,
right.
Yeah, and it just, I don't think we really set out to necessarily go in a certain direction, but everything we write seems to kind of...
So you guys are the artists, right? So you're the creativity, and you go and you do your thing, and we all enjoy it and clap. But what I love to do, we were talking about this week on the show, is I love the progression, the history of music, right? You know, you talk about the Rolling Stones. There is no Rolling Stones if there's no Muddy Waters, if there's no, you know, black music from the South, right? There is no Beatles if there's no Elvis, and there's no Elvis if there's no, you know, and you look at that history, and then somebody's going to talk about the Glorious Sons, or they're going to talk about Eddie and the Dirty Boys and say, hey, there's none of that music unless these guys have been influenced by what they grew up listening to their whole life. And it's pretty amazing. And it's, I guess it's that whole idea that there's really just five, you know, ideas, and it just goes, spins around, and then somebody who's creative can take it and explode it into something new.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, you're done with this interview. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so you're on the road. Let's do a little fun Glorious Sons, big artists, major arenas, all that kind of stuff. Lauren Brooker show facts. Number one. What do you have to have in your rider? What's the most important thing to have backstage? Because somebody will provide essentially whatever you want backstage.
A fair amount of liquor and beer and a watermelon.
A watermelon.
Yeah.
A ripe water, seeded or unseeded?
I mean, it's hard to get fussy. No one's gonna go to that distance for you unless you get the... You know, some people will, but
right,
mostly they're just
and
like,
why watermelon?
Why do these guys want a watermelon? Because it's delicious in the summer.
Yes.
And Steve likes to make some watermelon punch. And
oh, okay.
You know.
Now,
one of my specialties.
You guys are, how are you guys in your 40s yet?
1 month.
1 month.
Yeah. I'll turn 40 the night of the Canada Day show.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Almost. So let me ask you, does the rock and roll fun craziness thing dissipate a little as you get older, or is this part of the game? It has to be this way.
For me personally, I think it's different for everybody personally. I like the fun part. I mean, I like connecting with people. I like seeing new cities. I like, you know, going and checking out the bars and the restaurants. And without that, I'd be very happy just painting houses back home.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty lonely otherwise. It's just hotel, bus, green room, show. You know, without the vibe, it's not an easy thing to do. So that's what keeps me going.
And Jay, I think you would be easy to be unspotted. No offense. You look a little more like I saw you in several movies. But it must be fun, too, to just be going out for a dinner and you're walking down the street and somebody stops you and asks you for a picture. And I would assume most people are really nice, too.
Well, the whole thing's kind of new to me because I only joined this band not even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's all, in many ways, very novel to me. It's cool, yeah. It's cool to see people who, you know, care so much about the music and, you know, make their days by just, if they see you or if they get to see you play music, it feels good to be able to connect with people that way.
And as the new guy, you also have a say what goes backstage. What do you need back there besides a watermelon?
I mean, I'm definitely going to second those liquor and watermelon are high up on the list. I would say Red Bull is pretty essential.
Yeah, ice is
probably top of the list.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. I have this book that lists all these riders. It's absolutely fascinating. And everyone has whatever, iced down. Everything needs to be iced down.
Iced down
on the bus, so on. But the best rider ever was Frank Sinatra's. And his rider was, and obviously this is the 70s, a color television, two cartons of Marlboro, and a bottle of Chivas Royal Scotch. That was it. And I thought, well,
simple.
I can survive on that.
He's famous enough that he can go somewhere else to eat, I guess. Yeah, well, but you need a little bit of home, right?
Yeah.
Like that backstage area, you got lots of time there. You're going to random hotels. You need something to make you feel comfortable that this is your home. And I know when you play arenas, because I've been on a tour of the Bell Center, they have, it's not just a hockey locker room anymore. Some arenas actually have areas for musicians, and I know the Bell Center in Montreal has an actual room for musicians to warm up and all that kind of stuff. And that makes life a bit easier. And they have family rooms, big family rooms as well. So it's kind of a little more homey in some places, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, in our experience, it's usually just like a hockey dressing room that's made to look a little bit nicer, which is, you know, whatever. It's better than just sitting on the hockey bench.
Right. Now, do you guys like to, there's some bands, and this is, I don't want to give inside baseball, but when you go to a concert and the last song plays, but they don't turn the lights on for 5 minutes, that's because the band is getting the hell out of there and it's trying to keep as many people as possible.
No way.
Do you guys hang out or do you get the heck out of the venue?
We hang out.
Do you?
But there's never been swarms of people after a show, like trying, like anyone who wants to see us pretty much does, you know what I mean? It's not like a melee, but I do have a really good story.
Yes.
Of we opened for Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
Right.
His side project. It's like in like somewhere north of Seven, Mattawa.
Sure.
So we open for them. So we finish our show. We watch Vince Neil's show, and then all these like four or five black SUVs pull up, and Vince has like five people around him, like he's going to get swarmed by people, but there's nobody. Like the security team's like clearing the area, and then they're like, go, go. And Vince like sprints out. There's not a single person says hello to him or anything. And we're just sitting on the back deck, like having a smoke and a drink or whatever we're doing. And
right.
Like, well, that was bizarre. like Vince Neil just spent about 10 grand on a security team and four black Suburbans,
right?
And there was not a single person.
I remember ZZ Top, believe it or not, played here in Belleville, and at the park, at Zwicks Park on this side. It was a big, huge show, and in the media, we were backstage, and it's a huge backstage area, right? And they pushed us back as far as we could so ZZ Top could get on stage, and I thought, were there going to be like 50 or 60 people blocking the ZZ Top from getting on stage? And the answer was no. There was nobody back there. It was not a thing, but for them it was the thing.
Yeah. We did some gigs with the Pumpkins last summer. They wanted us nowhere near like the backstage area when they were entering or leaving the stage.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And you read that. I just finished Geddy Lee's book, and in his book he talks about how some bands are incredibly giving to opening acts because they're supportive and they want the acts to become famous and come up, and they like to kind of mentor. I know Rush was like that. And I guess you must have experienced that kind of too, where there's some acts who they give you tons of lighting and sound and the front of the house is really hospitable, and some, as you just said, with the Smashing Pumpkins, are like, we don't want to see them.
Yeah. I find like the Pumpkins have been around for so long that they've got like this massive team in place, and there's like a protocol for every single thing. So bands like that, it's really hard to get like a personal touch. But like we did some gigs with Red Clay Strays last fall, and those guys are kind of like just blowing up as we're doing the gigs, or you know, maybe just 6 months before, and they're just like normal dudes, and like,
right.
yeah dudes, like, come eat our food, you know, let us know if you need anything, you know, just complete chill, amazing vibes and all super nice guys. But I find it's the larger the production, the more the rules, the protocol.
Do you find it's not even the band members, because they don't even know what's going on?
Oh, they don't even care.
Right.
They just want to go on with their day.
With their day, yeah. And it must be unique to you too, Steve, because 2 years into this, and next thing you know, like, you're in it. So
yeah.
It's like a crash course in being a rock star.
Totally. Yeah. It's, I mean, I've always, you know, wanted to do this and, you know, be involved in performance, but my path kind of went more in the studio side. So
yeah.
Suddenly kind of switching to this is, it's a dream come true in so many ways, but yeah, it's a lot of new things. And
the audience connection, right? That's what it's all about. When you get on stage,
that 90 minutes or 2 hours, that's what all the work, the driving, the planes, the cars, the stinky minivans, yeah. everything you've done, it's for those people that you can actually see who are singing along with you and they're in it. That connection yeah. is what makes you want to do this.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we always say is it's like, the, for some reason, the show is always the turning point of the day, no matter how shitty the day was or how right. shitty the travel was. You know, once you get up on stage, come off stage, hope you have a great show, and you're just kind of a new man.
Okay, you want to do another quick tune before we take another break?
Sure.
And then we'll talk for a minute or two, and we'll do whatever tune you want to do. Because I'm gonna drain you for everything I can, because the odds of you coming back here are very slim. Nobody comes back twice, Steve.
Nobody?
Is, the dog might come back. She has been given an enormous amount of treats.
What?
Need a capo for that.
I think it's three for you, right?
It is three. You need a capo.
I got one in the case there.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Well, why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll get ready and we'll play. It's the Lauren Brooker Show. Eddie and the Dirty Boys in studio with us. This is so cool. On 800-CJBQ.
Harold, what incarnation was that?
The sun, Earl. It about roasted my eyeballs. I can't even see my crossword. What's a four-letter word for suffering?
Try wimp. You're getting soft, Harold.
Soft? I'm getting smart. I called McAdam Windows and Doors.
McAdams thought they just did windows and doors.
They do blinds, too. Like magic curtains to stop the sun from roasting us like a Sunday pot roast.
Ah!
Seven across. Genius. That's me.
McAdam Windows and Doors. Now with blinds. Protecting Quincy's eyeballs, houseplants, and cranky old men.
Hey!
Online at McAdamWindows.com.
The music of an era. This is Simon and Garfunkel. A musical celebration. It all happens Friday, July 11th at the Empire Theater in Belleville, Ontario.
For tickets, call 969-0099 or visit theempiretheater.com.
Hi, I'm Tasha Nickel. I'm a funeral director from Weaver Family Funeral Homes. At Weaver Funeral Home, we provide a wide range of services from cremation all the way up to something more formal as a full Christian church mass. We really try to work with the families and have the service that is right for you.
Celebrating life your way for 80 years. Visit WeaverFuneralHomes.com.
Weaver Family Funeral Homes.
There's just one place to go for new and good used appliances. Smitty's Appliances has the best price and selection. After the sale, Smitty says it's service that's important. Smitty has been servicing the Quinte area for 50 years. That speaks for itself. There's a big inventory of new and used appliances available for same-day delivery at Smitty's Appliances. River Road, Corbyville.
A landscaping and yard work tip from Holly's Garage.
Turn that make-work project into a save-work project. Get behind the wheel of a Massey Ferguson compact, utility, or subcompact tractor from Holly's Garage. Whether you're tackling lawn work, plowing snow, or working a job site, a Massey Ferguson does it all and never gets tired. Chat with Jamie or Lauren at Holly's Garage and find the Massey that fits you best. They'll give you financing for 0% for 60 months.
Don't make work, save work. Holly's Garage, Casey Road, Belleville.
Talk so passionate, it's addictive. It's Lauren Brooker on 800-CJBQ.
.951 is the time. We got a few minutes left with Eddie and the Dirty Boys, Jay and Steve from the Glorious Sons, and Mike Wild. It's too bad. I've been having a bad voice. Yesterday, it would have sounded way better, your name.
I thought that sounded pretty good.
Mike Wild. Montgomery. He was just a guy from Kingston, and then he became Wild. Okay, Mike Wild Montgomery from the band Boston Levi, and they are performing Canada Day right here in Belleville. CJBQ, big sponsors, and these are the headliners. Tell us who we're going to hear, Jay.
This song is called Young. Wild and I and Brett, my brother from the Glorious Sons, wrote this like 15 years ago, and... And then we pulled it out of the of the vault the other day, and it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, nothing ever happened with it when we originally wrote it, and Yeah, just decided.
Do you have a lot of songs just sitting there? Are you like prolific songwriters and you just, it just takes forever to get to the songs, or?
Brett has thousands.
Really?
Myself, I try to use my creative juices immediately so that, you know, what little I do write gets out there.
Right, right.
You know?
And do you guys have like, have you ever had the wake up at 2 a.m. moment with a melody or a chord in your mind and you wake up and for some reason, like, do you have a system in place to record it? Because sometimes you forget and then it turns into a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, that happens for me. Like a lot of the creative stuff that I come up with, it's a lot of times like between being awake and being asleep. I start hearing stuff in my head and then I try to somehow translate it onto my phone's voice memo app or something. And
yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool. Okay, let's hear some music.
The song is called Young.
If it don't stop raining and the sun don't shine, I'm gonna drive my ass to the county line. And if the goddamn clouds don't disappear, I'm gonna grab my girls and get us out of here. Me and the boys, we keep trying to go clean. And after 5 o'clock, we never say what we mean. Lately, it don't feel like I'm leaving. If I don't get high on a Saturday night, the illusions of our youth slowly die and fade away, till we got nothing to hang on to. Don't waste your life, don't let time pass you by. You'll never be old, never be old again. I've been breaking them rocks, I've been doing the time. I've been learning my dog.
wonderful. That is unbelievable. That is so good. And you can't see it, and hopefully we get some video put up here. But the interaction between all three of you playing guitar, and honestly, Steve, I saw through your sunglasses you peeking over at Jay, and so you're all kind of on, there's a thing, right? There's like a wavelength you guys are on.
Yeah, it's, I know. Like, I had no idea what the chords for the bridge were, and
I knew that was going to happen, and I turned sideways so he could see the chords.
He's been bailing me out for 20 years.
Okay, but we have 20 seconds left. So Eddie and the Dirty Boys, where the heck does that name come from? Which one of you is Eddie, and who is pretty... You're the dirty guy, right?
Well, Jay is Eddie, and that would make the rest of us the Dirty Boys, really. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's got to come from somewhere, though.
I guess we were listening to, you know, Springsteen's guitar player, Little Stevie Van Zandt, and he had a side project one time, and I was showing Jay a song, and it was by Little Steven and the Lost Boys, and he thought that name was hilarious and said, more like Eddie and the Dirty Boys.
And then
I have no idea why he said that, but
right.
The name really...
Names are always really a big thing, and as soon as you said In My Parents' Basement, I'm thinking there's got to be a band out there called In My Parents' Basement, because that's where everybody played. But you guys are going to be playing Canada Day, nighttime, right before the fireworks.
Yep.
At Zwick's, CJBQ Mix 97, Rock 107, big sponsors of Eddie and the Dirty Boys, Jay, Steve, Mike. My goodness, this has made my day. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks a lot for having us.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk speed cameras. Can you guys say, I'd rather just do that? We'll take a break.